I am Bill Courtwright with Living Right with Bill Courtwright, and this is the Stress Mastery Podcast, where we take you from the science to the spirituality of stress mastery.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode here at the Stress Mastery Podcast. I am your host, Mark Middlestead. This Saturday's episode of the Stress Mastery Podcast Weekend Edition, we're continuing the new format for Saturdays called Ask Me Anything, where I'll respond to your questions about life. Thanks again to everyone in the Stress Mastery community for contributing to this podcast. If you're not a member, I highly recommend joining. It's free for the first 30 days. If you're looking to change your life in any way, the Stress Mastery community is the place to be. You will not find a more loving, caring, and sharing group of people anywhere else online. If you want to be a part of this, if you're already a member of the Stress Mastery community, then simply reply to my threads in the open forums there, or send a direct message to me if it's too private to share publicly. I'm here for you. So let's get on to the questions. This question is from Lee. How would you explain spirituality to someone that doesn't believe in God? This is a great question, Lee. As a spiritual teacher, this is something I get asked quite frequently. In fact, many people also question the idea of spirituality, even as it pertains to their belief in God. So, I could use several entire podcasts to fully answer these questions. The dictionary definition of spirituality is the quality of being concerned with the human spirit or soul as opposed to the material or physical things. The simplest description of spirituality is becoming aware of who we are. Who we truly are is not this material or physical thing. So in essence, being spiritual is having awareness of our being, which has nothing whatsoever to do with religion or our physical reality. In order to fully answer Lee's question in this limited episode, I'll need to address both the atheist and the religious perspective. The atheist doesn't believe in God, and people of religious faiths do. But what is the difference between these two ideologies or philosophies that cause conflict with the idea of spirituality? In my early 20s, I wanted to become a minister, and so having been raised a Lutheran Christian, I began my journey as a spiritual teacher from this set of beliefs. But remember, beliefs are nothing but a collection of thoughts we hold to be true, even when they are not true. As I studied theology and philosophy, I began seeing God in a way that caused a great deal of conflict within me when seen through the perspective of a Lutheran Christian. Many things in my religious upbringing did not make sense to me, and ministers I questioned could never give me a satisfactory answer. The typical response when one has no answer is, God is a mystery, or God works in mysterious ways. Meaning, they didn't really have an answer for me either. And so I studied other religions. I devoted myself to the study of all religions and philosophies, and found that Islam was almost identical to Christianity. And Jesus was even considered as a great prophet. The teachings of Muhammad were the same as the teaching of Jesus. Of course, as we all know, Jesus himself was not a Christian, as he was of the Jewish faith. So what did Judaism teach? Pretty much the same thing as both Christianity and Islam, save for the fact that once again, Jesus was not considered the Savior that Christianity does. We need to keep in mind that Christianity did not even take hold as a set of religious beliefs until at least 30 to 100 years after the death of Jesus. All three, Judaism, Islam, and Christianity, are considered Abrahamic religions, all based on the ideologies of Abraham, where even Judaism began at least 2,000 years before Jesus was born, and Islam was not established until about 700 years after Jesus' death. Yet they all share similar theologies, but also differ in some ways as well. Now, considering that beliefs are a set of cultural programming that may not even be true, one can clearly see that religion, in and of itself, is just a limited set of cultural beliefs attempting to explain the nature of life. And so, beyond my studies of the Middle Eastern cultural Abrahamic religions, I dove into the religious and philosophical beliefs of the Far East, which led me to Hinduism, which began around the same time period as Judaism, yet in a completely different part of the world, whose cultural beliefs consisted of basically the same principles of the Abrahamic religions, but differed in some ways as well. Mainly, the beliefs in Hinduism is that life is the continuous cycle of life, death, and reincarnation, and karma is the universal law of cause and effect. One of the key thoughts of Hinduism is the belief in soul, which holds that all living creatures have a soul, and they're all part of the Supreme Soul. Okay, I thought now I'm getting somewhere with my ideas about God that were making more sense to me. I continued on my journey of spiritual growth and discovered Buddhism, which began as a religion about 600 years before the life of Jesus, and again consisted of cultural beliefs, where the path to enlightenment is attained by utilizing morality, meditation, and wisdom. Now, some scholars don't recognize Buddhism as an organized religion, but rather a way of life or a spiritual tradition. Ah, I was beginning to see religion from an entirely different perspective now. Religion is basically spiritual traditions with a set of limiting programmed cultural beliefs, none of which are necessarily right or wrong, but rather partial truths. And as we all know, truth can only be truth if it is the same for everyone. And clearly, religious beliefs are not true for all. Then I came across Taoism, which is not a religion, but a philosophical set of beliefs based on Lao Tzu's writings in the Tao Te Ching, which was written over 2,500 years ago. Tao, meaning the absolute principles underlying the universe, combining within itself the principles of yin and yang, or duality, the paradox of life, and signifying the way that is in harmony with the natural order of the universe. That's interesting, as Jesus also called himself the way. In Taoism, Everything I had been studying all these years was beginning to make sense. Even the Pope himself declared the Tao Te Ching the most perfect book ever written, as he could not find any fault within it, no matter how one interpreted it. As I continued on my personal and spiritual growth, the Tao Te Ching became my go-to resource for answers. It combines both religion and science, the physical and metaphysical, which examines the fundamental nature of reality, including the relationship between mind and matter, between substance and attribute, and between potentiality and actuality. Which, of course, led me to the study of the sciences, mainly astronomy and physics, specifically quantum physics. Astronomy taught me about the bigger perspective of the universe, and quantum physics taught me about the underlying energy of the universe I studied, to which the Tao Te Ching often references. Because of my studies in science, astronomy, and history, I came across many scientific and historic facts that also made me further question religion. One out of many examples, really. Because of the Earth's tilt in its axis, in the northern latitudes, it can remain dark for up to 6 months. The further south you go, the shorter this period of darkness is. In spring, there are some places where the sun sets and does not rise again for 3 days. In some ancient pagan beliefs that predate Christianity, they celebrate the sun rising again after 3 days with the spring ritual of the goddess of fertility, Esther, bringing life forth again. Spring being a time of rebirth, a renewal. Sound familiar? So to answer Lee's question, let me ask a question. What is God? We know that who we are is not the labels we are given or give to ourselves, nor are we the roles we play. Labels are limiting, but required in order to have any meaningful dialogue with each other. So God is just a label. Allah is just a label. Buddha is just a label. Christ is just a label. Even the term atheist is a label. I contend that even atheists believe in God. They just give it a different label under the guise of science or a sense of self. And who is this self an atheist would attempt to explain? Who we are runs much deeper than any label or set of limiting beliefs, be they religious, philosophical, or scientific. This is where spirituality comes into play. Spirituality is simply becoming aware of who we truly are. Spirituality is awareness of our being. Because spirituality has nothing to do with religion, philosophy, or science as separate entities, but rather with the idea of the integration of the all, or oneness. It is in our awareness of our being that all is energy. Energy is the very thing that brings life to everything in the universe. Even an atheist can embrace that. Now, we can call this energy the source, the consciousness of the universe, or even God. As the Tao Te Ching describes it, the Tao that can be told is not the eternal Tao. The name that can be named is not the eternal name. The Tao is both named and nameless. As nameless, it is the origin of all things. As named, it is the mother of 10,000 things. Ever desireless, one can see the mystery. Ever desiring, one sees only the manifestations. And the mystery itself is the doorway to all understanding. This question is from Leandro. What is the difference between the inconsistent and subconscious mind? Well, the subconscious mind is nothing but a storage container of everything you sense in your experience. Your entire life experiences from the moment of your birth up until this present moment are stored in your subconscious mind. The subconscious is like a sponge soaking up everything in our experience, even without our conscious awareness. The subconscious mind cannot do anything on its own because it has no mechanism with which to do so. It is the conscious mind that uses all the information stored in the subconscious. The ego does not live in the subconscious. It is a part of your conscious mind, and the ego is not necessarily a bad thing. It's just a part of your conscious mind that allows you to function and helps you make decisions. However, the ego only functions based on its programming, and it shares your conscious mind with your spirit or creation mind. If the ego lived in your subconscious, you would never hear its voice talking to you. However, your conscious mind is split into two minds, like having a multiple personality disorder. One part of your conscious mind is the ego. The other part is your spirit or creation mind. And this is why you have these conversations with your ego. Both parts of the conscious mind, ego and spirit, are actively engaged in conversation. The only time we have a problem with our ego is when we allow it to control our thought and behavior. Because the ego, although not living in the subconscious, can only create a story based on all that information of your past experiences stored in the subconscious. The creation mind has the power to override the egoic mind because the spirit, or creation mind, does not need to rely solely on the info stored in the subconscious, like the ego does. The spirit mind is connected to the superconscious, where the ego's only source is the subconscious, and the subconscious holds all of our faulty programming. Both our egoic mind and the spirit creation mind live in the conscious mind. The difference between the two is that the ego is trapped in programming with its limitation of the subconscious, whereas the spirit creation mind lies in imagination with unlimited potential. To put it into an easier to understand concept, I'll use the analogy of how a computer operates. The subconscious mind is the hard drive of our mind. It can't actually do anything. It's simply a storage device in the computer with all the information and programming it received. The conscious mind is the processor. The ego part of the processor is only capable of accessing the hard drive. That's all it can do and nothing more. So it uses what is already programmed into the hard drive, or the subconscious. However, the spirit creation mind not only processes what is stored on the hard drive, but it is also connected to the source, or the operator of our imagination, or eternal programmer of the computer. And so not only can this part of the conscious mind utilize the hard drive, like the subconscious, via its imagination, it can program and even reprogram the hard drive. So which are you going to give your energy and power to? Well, that's it for today's show. I'm sorry if I didn't get to anybody's questions, but some of these questions are deeper and took a little bit more time to answer. Continue to go into the Stress Mastery community and post these questions in the threads, and I'll see what I can do about answering them. Our mission here is to create a shift in the planet. You can join us on this mission by simply clicking like, share, and subscribe. The links are right below the show notes. As always, until next time, stay inspired.